Well, good evening. How you guys doing? Awesome. Yeah, you know, I was just thinking about we've been going through the encounters with Jesus, and I was realizing that we're talking about all these like individual, these moments where Jesus meets these individuals, and I don't know about you, but after hearing all these messages, looking at what Jesus did for these people, I mean, how can you doubt the love of Jesus for you? You know what I mean? I mean, it's just so amazing to see these back to back and just go like, wow, this is our Lord. This is Jesus, you know, and this is God coming after us. So anyway, I hope you guys are encouraged with the series. Tonight we're going to be talking about the man in the tombs in Mark chapter 5. And so you guys can turn to Mark chapter 5 with me. And I'm going to pray for us tonight. Father, we just come before you, Lord, and we desire, Lord, your will to be done in our lives. And Father, we thank you for that love that we get to see in scriptures. Lord, thank you that you sent your Son to show us the heart of the Father, that we might know who our God is, Lord. Father, I pray tonight as we get into your word, Lord, that you would speak to our hearts and bring that assurance, that confidence, Lord, and that we would know that even when we're out of our comfort zones, even when we're being stretched, Lord, that we would know that you are a good Father and that you love us and that you have something planned for us, Lord, that we would trust in you with that childlike faith and follow after you. We thank you and just praise your word goes forth, that you would use it to speak to our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So, as we begin this, I want to start off reminding us about the vision that the Lord has given our pastor and us as a church. You guys know, we're called Jericho Road Christian Fellowship, and it was on this very road, the road to Jericho, Jericho Road, that Jesus chose to use as the scene where the Good Samaritan would stop in his journey to pick up a beaten man to help him, bring him to healing. And so our vision at Jericho Road, guys, is to be a place of healing, like the inn on Jericho Road. And I kind of see three things that I believe is, you know, part of our vision, which is that we are a place where people come who are in need of that healing. We're a place where people come to be receivers of that healing. Like, it's a continual thing. It's not just they come once and then leave, but they plant themselves here with their families and they become receivers of that healing. And then we are a place where people come to be givers of that healing by pointing people to Jesus. And so that cycle would start all over, right? Where we would go out as givers, now that we've received the healing of Jesus, we would go out and find those in need and just continue that process all over, you know? And thinking about that, I discovered when looking at Jesus' encounter with this man in the tombs in Mark chapter 5, that you can actually see this cycle of healing exemplified really clearly. And so that's why I chose this passage of scripture. If you guys know what I'm talking about, you know that it's just filled with this demon possession and rejection of Jesus and all this. And I don't want to focus on that tonight. I was telling the pastor earlier, I said, you know, I'm going to be speaking on the man in the tombs. I said, but don't worry, it's going to be good. And then he's, oh, it's going to be good, huh? You know, oh, great. But what I meant, you know, obviously was, don't worry, we're not going to get caught up in demon possession stuff and things like that. That's for other nights or other times. Right now, what we're talking about is Jesus' encounter with this man in the tombs. You know, I believe that this man was in need of healing. And so we're going to see this take place. But if you're taking notes, there's three things that we're going to be, you know, talking about and breaking down, which is, you can write it like this: need of healing, receiving healing, and then giving healing. We're going to talk about those three things tonight, okay? So Mark chapter 5, verse 1, we can get started here, seeing this man's need for healing. Verse 1, it starts off, it says, It says, then they came to the other side of the sea, to the country of the Gadarenes. And when Jesus had come out of the boat, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no one could bind him, not even with chains, because he had often been bound with shackles and chains, and the chains had been pulled apart by him, and the shackles broken in pieces, neither could anyone tame him. And always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying out and cutting himself with stones. When he saw Jesus from afar, he ran and worshipped him. And he cried out with a loud voice and said, what have I to do with you, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I implore you by God that you do not torment me. For Jesus said to him, come out of the man, unclean spirit. And then Jesus asked him, what is your name? And he answered, saying, my name is Legion, for we are many. Also, he begged Jesus earnestly that he would not send them out of the country. So let's pause there. Again, not focusing on demon possession, but focusing on this man who is in need of healing. Scripture describes to us three major issues that I can see right here very clearly going on with this man. And so I want to break those down for us because I think they still affect us. Obviously in this society, but not just unbelievers, but even Christians. And so I want to talk about these three things. So first, this man, it says that he had his dwelling among the tombs, that he lived in death. You know, though he was physically alive, he was dead. You know, his life had no purpose. And so there he was in their graveyard, in their cemetery, the tombs. And that was his dwelling place. Now, obviously, you can see that I could easily go about this by letting, you know, reminding us that without Christ, the Bible declares that we are spiritually dead. And it's through Jesus that we can become born again and then receive newness of life, which is awesome. But what's even more amazing is that Jesus declared about this life in John chapter 10, verse 10, he says this. He says, the thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. But I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. Now, I love scriptures like this. I don't know if I'm optimistic. I actually think I'm not optimistic, but Jesus has made me optimistic. The scriptures, right? They're just awesome. They're just filled with these promises and these truths. And so Jesus comes and he says, look, I've come to bring life, but not just life, but life abundantly. And that word, it means like above and beyond, like extraordinary life. And we might be thinking, well, yeah, obviously he's speaking about eternal life, but, you know, life after death. Which, yeah, that's part of it, but he's meaning now, like right now, the life that he gives you, this newness of life that he gives you is filled with just such purpose. It's filled with his joy and his peace. I mean, you know, and so it's just, there's so much there, and it's this extraordinary life. But how many of us find moments when life seems dull? You know, we kind of start doing the same thing over. We kind of have this certain ritual or whatever, you know, daily habits or daily routines that we kind of follow. And even as a Christian, we begin to doubt our value to this world. We begin to doubt that we have anything to offer, you know. And we begin to just drift in life. It seems like we're living in a tomb. You know, it's just like, what? Why am I here? What am I doing? Like, God, what is my purpose? Like, why am I here still? Just take me to heaven, I guess. And what is my purpose? And I see sometimes Christians come with this, you know, this face that looks like my life is dull. My life is boring, you know. And again, I want you guys to understand, it's not about the outward circumstances. Like, I'm not saying like God's going to make us all Billy Grahams and go on these huge crusades and all these things. It's not that. But what it is the inward attributes that begin to take place, that the Lord opens your eyes to see amazing things. You begin to see His grace in this world. You begin to understand forgiveness, you know, and just all these things as they begin to take place in your life, it begins to fill you with that joy and the peace, the knowledge of who God is and what He's done for you. It fills us with this joy and peace, and even understanding our purpose in the Lord. It makes you kind of sit back and go, wow, like, we have some big responsibilities on our shoulders, and at the same time, that responsibility is really on the Lord. You know, I love how you always hear pastors use this, but I love it. They say, you know, it's not about your ability, it's about your availability, you know. But still we find Christians in this position where they feel like, man, life is just dull. I feel like I'm just dead. I just feel dull. I feel dead, you know. And if you feel that way tonight, guys, I want to tell you that it shouldn't be that way. And you know what? You're in need of healing. You're in need of healing, just like this man. So this man, he lived in death. He lived in the tombs. But then the second issue that Scripture reveals to us is that this man was untamed. Though people tried to bind him, and it even seems when you read it that he wanted to be bound. You know, he himself desired to be bound because he knew the destruction he was causing to himself and to others. And, you know, he wanted these chains to work, but yet no chain, no person, no practice, it says, could tame him. Now, before Christ, right, we lived with sin ruling our lives. And though we may have seemed tamed in some areas, there was always a part of us that we knew we could not control, right? And that's because of our sinful nature. Sin ruled over us. And we tried to bind ourselves, you know, we tried to put our own disciplines on our lives and try to stop these things, and it just didn't work, you know? Others tried to help us get control, but we could not be tamed. And then we give our lives to Jesus, we find that the Bible says that we have freedom now, that we are dead to sin and alive to God. But still, as Christians, we can find ourselves at moments feeling like sin has the best of us, you know. Some sinful habit in your life. And though you know Jesus, and though He is your Lord, for whatever reason, this sin, it has the best of you. And you're trying every trick in the book. You're trying every discipline, every habit, everything you tried, but it can't restrict you. And you end up breaking those chains and sinning against your Lord and whom you love. And you need healing. You're at the end of hope. You might feel this way tonight. That's how this man was. This man could not be tamed. He was out of control. And lastly, the third issue I see here that Scripture clearly tells us that this, what was going on with this man, is that he would cry out and he would cut himself with stones. Now, this is kind of huge because I don't know if you know this, but in our society, in our culture, it's starting to become like a huge practice for the younger generation to cut themselves. And, you know, there's, just for those of you who are young, the few of you who are young, you know, I'm talking teenage level, all right? So I just want to encourage you guys. Like, it's just not the way. What you need is healing, and this practice is not healing. It might cover up the pain for a bit, but this practice, guys, you have to understand, is straight from the enemy. It's straight from the enemy. Like, he wants to destroy you. Right? He wants to. You were created after the image of God, and the enemy hates the image of God, and so he just wants to see it destroyed. And so he puts these thoughts in your head, like, that cutting yourself is somehow going to make things feel better or go away, and it's just not. It's just not. It's from the enemy, and what you really need is true healing. To have that pain, to have that hurt, whatever caused it in the first place, to be cleansed from your heart, to have forgiveness, cleanse that from your heart, which comes from Jesus. But also to the rest of us guys, you know, we may not be physically cutting ourselves, but how many of us give in to the doubts and the fears and the shame that comes from the lies of the enemy? How many of us listen to these lies and then we begin to sabotage ourselves? I mean, we, you know, things are going well. Like, you know, maybe our job is going well. Our relationship with our spouse is going well. Our friends, our ministries are going well. But all of a sudden, we begin to listen to lies from the enemy. And then all of a sudden, we feel like destroying. We end up self-sabotaging, you know, our lives. And you know, I just want to say, if you feel that you do that, you know, two steps forward, one step back, is like, Lord, every time I start doing something awesome, like for some reason I feel like I can't, and then I sabotage myself. Well, guys, if you feel that way tonight, then you're in need of healing as much as this man as well. And so I see those things in scriptures. I think that they really do have a hold in our society, even among believers. And so I wanted to bring those out because I don't want you to think that if you're going through those struggles that you're the only one. We go through these struggles, feeling like life is dull at times, having, you know, feeling like sin has the best of us, that we can't break this. Lord, you said I'm dead to sin, I'm alive to you, but why do I feel like chains are on me? Why do I feel like it's hard to fight the sin, defeat it? And then even that self-sabotaging, unhealthy habit. You know, these things, I think they really do rule our society a lot, and we need healing from it. Now, we know we ought to be the Good Samaritan, right? We're talking about being on the Jericho Road, and we're talking about this whole process, you know. There's the beaten man on the ground, and then there's the Good Samaritan, and we know, like, okay, Lord, I was the beaten man, but now I'm saved. Like, I'm supposed to be the Good Samaritan, right? I'm supposed to be the one that goes and finds the person in need and picks them up and throws them on my donkey, you know, and just, you know, gets into the mess of the situation. But then there's times when we still feel like that man who was beaten up and thrown to the side of the road and left for dead. And we're just sitting there saying, Lord, we need healing. And maybe some of us who are new in the faith, like we've come to the Lord, we've received that forgiveness, but there's just so much going on in our life that we're still maybe afraid to give up to the Lord or whatever it may be. But we just know, all we know is that we haven't really experienced that healing, that fullness of healing yet, for whatever reason. And so I'm speaking to a lot of hearts tonight, right? I'm speaking to a lot of issues tonight, but it's really just one thing, which is that we are in need of healing. And so where do we find it? Well, that's where we get to the next part, this receiving of the healing. Look at verse 11 with me. It says, now a large herd of swine was feeding there near the mountains. So all the demons begged Jesus, saying, send us to the swine that we may enter them. And at once Jesus gave them permission. And then the unclean spirits went out and entered the swine. There was about 2,000. And the herd ran violently down the steep place into the sea and drowned in the sea. So those who fed the swine fled, and they told it in the city and in the country. And they went out to see what it was that had happened. And then they came to Jesus, and listen, guys, it says, and they saw the one who had been demon-possessed and had the legion sitting and clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. And those who saw it told them how it happened to him who had been demon-possessed and about the swine, and then they began to plead with Jesus to depart from their region. Now, again, I don't want to focus on the rejection of the city. I don't want to focus on the possession, demon possession. What I want to focus on is this man who lived in death, this man who could not tame himself, this man who was always trying to destroy himself, always sabotaging himself. This man, he received the healing of Jesus, right? And where do we find him when he receives the healing of Jesus? It's so quick. It's kind of like something you would kind of miss and really get caught up in the demon possession and be like, swine and all this, you know. But listen to that. It says that he was sitting, guys. That when they came to Jesus, this man was sitting at the feet of Jesus. Like, he was sitting right there with the Lord, and he was clothed, and he was in his right mind. And you might know where I'm going with this. Listen, Jesus did not come. I love this. Jesus did not come to show us a way. Jesus did not come just to show us a truth, right? He didn't come to just simply show us how to live a more productive life. Instead, in the scriptures, it says that Jesus says, I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. If you want to come to the Father, you must come to me. And he was always calling people to himself, not to a way, not to a religion, but to himself. That's what I love about Christianity, because every other religion is talking about a way to do something, but Christianity, you know, the true religion from God, right? It's about Jesus. It's about coming to him. When Martha, think about Martha, when she was busy just doing, right? And then her sister Mary was sitting at the feet of Jesus, right? And our Lord commended Mary for it. In fact, he gave some words to Martha. He said, Martha, you're so worried about so many things, but one thing is needed. One thing is needed. Sit at my feet and hear my word. I love that. I love the one things, right? Because it's kind of hard. I'm not a multitasker. And so I love when the Bible say one thing, because it's like, oh, cool. Okay, what is that one thing? That must be important. You know, you're worried about many things. Listen to that. You're worried about many things, but one thing is needed. Sit at my feet. Hear my word. In John chapter 15, Jesus said, I'm the vine, and you are the branches. If you want to bear fruit, right? We all want to bear fruit. We want to see this, you know, this fruit in our lives. If you want to bear fruit, what does he say? He says, abide in me. Without me, you can do nothing. Abide in me. Live in me. Dwell with me. Live this life in my presence. And it may sound so basic, guys, but this is the truth, that it's in having a daily, personal and intimate relationship with Jesus that we receive healing in all these areas. I love how God designed our salvation, because every single problem, every single spiritual problem is solved by his Son, is solved by Jesus. And yeah, there's all these other little, you know, tidbits that we can get as we glean through the Word of God. But the major thing, the one thing that is important, the one thing that is necessary, is that we would build this daily, personal, intimate relationship with our Lord Jesus. That we would make sure that we are doing this. And I love this, you know, because he clothes us with himself. And he renews our minds, so that we are able to gaze upon this world and we're able to gaze upon our lives with the mindset of our Lord, with the mindset of our God, instead of with a sinful mindset. You know, we see things differently now. When you spend time with Jesus, you know, your mind, it continues to become renewed, and you begin to see this world and this life in the light of how God sees it. And it's awesome. Because this is the thing, guys, abundant life, it's already been given. It's not like something that we still have to find, right? We're Christians, and when you give your life to Jesus, like, he gives you life abundantly right then and there, you know? Like, you have abundant life already offered to you if you have given your life to Jesus. And so if a Christian feels that life is dull, it's because you've forgotten the giant purpose that God has given you. When I lived near the beach, and we lived there for a few years, and we'd see these glorious sunsets like every single night, you know, I mean, just awesome sunsets. And after a while, they started to become commonplace. You know, it's kind of like, oh yeah, there's another glorious sunset. Okay, you know, have the tourists take a picture. I'm going home, you know. And it just became something dull in my own mind. You know, I sort of let that sunset, like, lose its luster on me. You know, it was me who became dull to the sunset. It wasn't that the sunset all of a sudden started to become, you know, dull and ugly or something. No, it was just as majestic, just as beautiful. But what happened was I allowed my mind to see it differently. It became common in my mind. And I think sometimes we can do that with the Lord. I may be wrong, but I dare to say this, guys, that I believe that if you feel that the Christian life is dull, if you feel that the Christian life, you know, you feel like your life is just kind of dead, I think it's because you've kept yourself too much from the feet of Jesus. I think that's what it is. I believe, according to the Word of God, that if you would take that time and truly, truly just sit at His feet, you know, not just grab the Bible and just read it quickly and, okay, I got it in and I got to go to work, you know, but to truly sit at His feet, to truly absorb the Word, let it sink in, you know, truly hear the Lord speak and you cry out to Him, I believe that He will renew your mind. You'll begin to see just the awesome purpose that you have in this world, you know, that He's brought you alongside. I love what we always say to the teenagers. It's something I love, and I hope you guys enjoy it too, which is that God wants to save the world. That's His mission, right? He wants to save the world, and you're His sidekick. Like, He's bringing you alongside and saying, come help me. Not because He needs it, but because He loves you. And so He says, come help me, come join me in this miraculous, amazing purpose of leading people to me, bringing people to salvation. It's awesome. And also, I want to speak to the other things as well, the other issues that this man had, you know. To the Christian who finds themselves unable to shackle their sin, I just want you to know that it is true. The Word of God declares it, that you are dead to sin, that you are alive to God. I love how Paul even says, you know, don't you know? Don't you know that you're dead to sin? Don't you know that you're alive to God? You know, it's just something that, like, sometimes we forget that. Sometimes we think that we have to sin. And it's like, no, wait, I'm dead to sin. And I'm alive to God. Like, the Holy Spirit lives in me. God has already given me His Holy Spirit. And He will give me the strength and power that I need to overcome these sins. Will it be a battle? Of course it will be. And some of these sins, you guys know, will be battles for the rest of our lives, right? But we can have victory as we spend time with Jesus in that daily relationship. Like, He will become our strength. He will give us that strength, and He will give us that wisdom on you know, hey, let's get rid of this in your house, or let's spend more time here and less time there, or whatever needs to take place in order to see that habitual sin go away in your life. But I just want to encourage you in that. And yeah, like, I mean, we're here to pray with you, to help you through that as well. But the ultimate thing I want to focus on tonight, the one thing that is needed most, is that daily, personal, intimate relationship with Jesus. And to the person who can't figure out why they keep sabotaging their own lives, again, guys, I believe it's as you draw near to Christ, that when you do that day after day, that He will renew your mind, that He will heal you of these destructive habits that we may have created in ourselves, and He's going to replace them with these godly habits where you begin to be productive in these areas. You begin to be productive in your life, and He will do that for you. And I guess my point is that sometimes we start focusing on the doing, the acting out, instead of just focusing on dwelling at His feet, right? Sitting at His feet daily, hearing His word, being ministered to, allowing Him, and just being receivers of that healing, allowing Him to heal you and to fully heal you. And I believe that as you sit at His feet daily, He will clothe you, that He will renew your mind, and you will see clearly with the mindset of Christ, this mindset of purity and wisdom and godliness, you will see this world and your life. And once you are healed, guys, you know, once you are receiving that healing, once you are lifted from the ground, going back to the parable of Jericho Road, the Good Samaritan, once you're lifted from the ground and you're renewed and you're strengthened, guess what? It's your turn, right? Like we were talking about. That last phase, like giving, to be givers of healing. And so check out what it says here in verse 18. It says, and when he got into the boat, he who had been demon-possessed begged him that he might be with Jesus. However, Jesus did not permit him, but said to him, go home to your friends and tell them what great things the Lord has done for you and how he has had compassion on you. And so the man departed and began to proclaim in Decapolis all that Jesus had done for him, and all marveled. All right, so this man in the tombs who was in need of healing, when he met Jesus, he became a receiver of healing, right? And then Jesus gives him a command. He says, look, go. Go and tell them what great things the Lord has done for you and how he has had compassion on you. And so, guys, my encouragement to you tonight is that there must come a point when you get up off the ground and it's your turn to be the Good Samaritan. It's your turn to be a giver of healing by leading people to Jesus. It's your turn now. And honestly, I believe that being a giver of healing is part of the process. It's part of the process of being healed, you know? When you're out there helping people, like the Lord's working through you and working into the lives of others, and it's just part of the process. So this man, though, check this out. I think this is pretty interesting. This man, he received the healing of Jesus, and then he just wanted to remain there, you know? He said, Lord, let me just go with you. Because, you know, I don't know what's going to happen. What if these demons come back? What? I don't know what's going to happen. So let me just stay right here just receiving, okay? I just want to stay here and just receive and receive. And it says that Jesus would not permit him, you know? Jesus would not permit him to just stay there. He said, no, you need to be a giver. Go out there and share what you have received. Go out there and share what you have received. And you know what? When this man listened to Jesus, guys, this man was blessed for it. I mean, look what happens. This man, who was known as this guy who lived in the tombs, had no, like, he was basically dead, right? Everyone counted him off as just this crazy guy in the tombs, dead. You know, never again will he have any value or purpose in this life. And then all of a sudden, he goes and he listens to the Lord. He goes out, he preaches Jesus, and it says that all marveled. All were amazed at what the Lord had done in this guy's life. And he was a part of that. He got to be a part of what God was doing in these cities. And I always like to say this, you know, he had stories, I believe, to share with his grandkids, you know. His life wasn't dull. There's never a dull moment when you're sharing Jesus with the world. I'm not going to say it's always great. It's not always perfect, you know, right? I mean, there's a lot of rejection that goes on with it. But I'll tell you this, there is never a dull moment when you're sharing Jesus with the world. And I love hearing, like when I hang out with you guys and we're fellowshipping, I love to hear all the different instances and moments and opportunities that the Lord gives you guys to share Jesus with people. It's so fun to hear just how, you know, some of them are surprised. They're surprises, right? It's just like, oh, wow, this person's asking me, like came up to me and said, hey, you're a Christian. Tell me about the Lord, you know? And then there's other moments where you feel the Lord just kind of stirring in your heart. And so you go with it and you begin to share what the Lord has done with you. But this is the thing, guys. We live in a day and age where our culture tries to portray the gospel as bad news, right? And we're afraid to give people the gospel because it feels like sometimes we're giving them bad news. And they kind of look at us like, oh, no, like you're going to give us bad news. And you know, I just want to encourage you guys, remind you guys, the gospel is good news. That's what it means, right? It means good news. The gospel is good news, and you're giving people good news. And I love what Jesus said to this man, because Jesus wants you to simply tell others about the great things the Lord is doing in your life. He wants you to share the compassion that the Lord has shown upon your life. Like, that's what he wants you to share. Now, these are great things, right? And so I just encourage you, like, the gospel is good news. Go give it out. Don't be afraid. Don't let the culture try to switch those definitions of the words, you know? No, we have good news to share. Even as Jesus said, like, the world's already condemned. I've come to save, you know? The neighbor's house is on fire. I'm just knocking on the door saying, hey, dude, you should get out because your house is on fire, you know? I have good news to bring you. There's an escape route. But I love it because Jesus makes it so simple. You know, he just says, hey, go share what the Lord is doing in your life. And just share the compassion that he has shown you. And maybe some of you may feel like, you know, you might get it wrong, that you might mess it up. And I just want to encourage you with two things on that. First thing is real simple. Prepare. I always tell the teenagers this, prepare. When do you ever see someone, get drafted into the NFL, and then they start throwing a football around? And they're like, you know, maybe we should start practicing. Maybe we should learn this football game, you know? No, they've been preparing for years for this opportunity, right? And so I just encourage you guys, well, yeah, prepare then. If you feel like you might mess it up, if you feel like, man, I'm a little nervous about it, well, then go home and prepare. I mean, this is an awesome thing that you have to share with the world. So, yeah, prepare. Get good at it, you know, just like anything else that you love. But the other thing I want to encourage you in is this, that in the morning, I like to let my kids help me make breakfast. And by doing this, guys, I know that they're going to make a huge mess, you know. I know they're going to pour milk on the table, it's going to drip down to the floor. I know that if I, you know, my daughter, as she tries not to, but she's going to let that eggshell fall in to the pan, you know. And I know she's going to make a mess, but you know what? I love my kids, and I want them to be a part of this process. I want to see them grow. I want to see them mature, you know. And so I want them to do this, and I don't care about the mess. I'll clean it up. Because I want to see them grow. I want to see them mature. And I believe the Lord has the same heart. I always love in Acts, when you read through Acts, you find angels doing all these amazing things, but you never find them preaching the gospel. You know, I'm like, wait, so you had an angel come and unlock the jail cell for Peter? And then he says, oh, Peter, go and preach, okay? I'm going to take off. And it's like, well, you know, if you preached, it would probably do a lot better, you know, being an angel and everything. But no, God has the angels do all these things, but he says, I want men to preach to men. He loves us, guys. And you know, don't be afraid of messing up. Don't be afraid of that. Like, go out there and just share what the Lord is doing in your life and be a giver of healing. Point people to Jesus. You know, I hope that takes the load off your shoulders a little bit, and you just know, like, hey, the Lord's okay. He knows we're going to make a mess, and he's going to fix it. He's going to clean it up. We're just a part of the puzzle that he's putting together as he brings people to himself. And so, guys, as I end here, I just want to kind of conclude by kind of summarizing everything. The cycle of healing, it all takes place in Christ Jesus. When we are in need of healing, we have to seek it at the feet of Jesus. That's where we have to go. Whenever you find something wrong in your life, first look at your relationship with the Lord and look at that daily personal time that you're spending with him and say, is this right? Am I spending time with him? Am I having this daily intimate relationship with him? Because I believe that's the first place we need to look. That's the single most important thing that we need to be doing as Christians, is having that, just making sure that we're spending that intimate time daily with our Lord Jesus. But once you receive that healing, guys, then we need to stand up and become givers of healing. And that's the cycle, you know. And last thing, just because you're a giver of healing, it doesn't mean you won't need healing ever again. The idea is that you're going to daily come to Jesus in need of healing, right? You're going to come to him and lay it all out before him, casting your cares upon him because he cares for you, letting him meet your needs, receiving of his healing, filling you up that you might go out and just pour Jesus out to this world. So that was just a beautiful picture to me, and that's why I chose it to be one of the encounters that we talk about that Jesus has with somebody. And so I hope you guys are encouraged, and let's pray. Father, we come before you, Lord. As we wrap this up, Lord God, I just want to thank you that you've given us your Son. Thank you that you bring this healing to our lives, Lord. You love us so much. We see it every single time we look into one of these encounters. We see how you come after us. Like you just come after us and you're doing everything to bring us to yourself. And Lord, I pray for those here who are in need of healing, Lord, I pray that they would seek out a brother or sister in the Lord and cry out to you. I pray that you'd help us in our daily relationship with you, Lord God, that it wouldn't become something that becomes just a routine, that it wouldn't become dull in our minds, Lord, but instead, Lord, that we would look forward to these moments, that we would look forward every single day, waking up and spending time with you and through the day living in your presence and just allowing you to work in our lives. Lord, we thank you and we give you all the glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.